You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Hello, everyone. This is me, Youssef. It's so great to be with you. And today I will talk to you about the symbols, al-rumuz in Arabic, the visual symbols that stands for Palestine. And I will talk about two of the symbols, and maybe in the next episode I'll talk about more. Today I will talk to you about the flag and the key. I do not remember when it was the first time that I recognized the Palestinian flag, but I can tell you it was definitely before I go to school. I grew up in Saudi Arabia. I grew up between three countries. During school time, that's most of the year, we lived in Saudi Arabia. And during summer holidays, we would go to my father's family in Jordan and to my mother's family in Syria. So from as young as maybe 7 or 8, I started recognizing the flags of these three countries, in addition to the flag of Palestine. So I knew the Palestinian flag, of course, inside out, because it was everywhere, at home, in my father's car, at my father's work. My father also worked for a Palestine-related office. But I also recognized the three Arab flags of my upbringing, the Saudi, Jordanian, and the Syrian. So the Saudi flag, all green, with white sword and white writing, and the writing says "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah." I certify that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger. And this is ash-shahadatan, or the testimonies, the two testimonies, or the first pillar in Islam. The Jordanian flag is also easy to recognize because it's the Palestinian flag with an extra star in the red area. The Syrian flag, three colors, three horizontal colors, red, black, and white, with two green stars in the middle. Now, I also remember my surprise when we would go from Saudi Arabia to Jordan and from Jordan to Syria. As soon as we arrive to the border between Jordan and Syria, as soon as we see the first Syrian checkpoint, I saw two flags. The Syrian flag and the Palestinian flag. So it was a happy surprise. It was nice to see the flag of Palestine in Syria, everywhere. In Syria, every government building, every government letterhead, every government checkpoint, whether civil or military, you would see two flags, the Syrian flag and next to it, the Palestinian flag. So I didn't do much thinking. I didn't think why. I didn't ask. It was nice to see the flag of Palestine everywhere in Syria. And then when I grew up, I thought or assumed that this could be out of solidarity with the Palestinian issue, because the regime in Syria in the 70s and 80s introduced itself as revolutionary and raised the banner of resistance and liberation of Palestine. So I thought this could be out of alleged solidarity with the Palestinian cause. Turns out I was wrong. The real reason that this was not the flag of Palestine in the eyes of the government, this was the flag of the political party that ruled Syria from 1963 to December the 8th, 2024. So I guess the question, what's the story behind the flag of Palestine and why is it shared? This flag, as we know it, was designed by Sharif Hussein the Hashemite to be the flag of the Arab Revolution in 1916. The four colors symbolize four Arab-led dynasties that ruled the Muslim world. The Umayyad, the Abbasids, the Fatimids, and the Andalus. A year later, in 1917, the Palestinian movement adopted this flag in reference to adopting Arab unity. And it became the flag of the Palestinian movement. In 1947, Al-Ba'ath political party was born, And Al-Ba'ath is a nationalist Arab unity or pan-Arab party. It adopted the flag of the Palestinian movement out of solidarity with its struggle against the colonialists and also in reference to the Arab unity and pan-Arabism. And then came Nakba in 1948. And then all what remained in 1948 was 22% of Palestine. And then came the Palestinian endeavors to form a government in Gaza in 1948. That government was called Hukumat Umum Palestine, All Palestine Government. They adopted the flag of the Palestinian movement to be the flag of that government. And the Arab League, Jama'at al-Dawla al-Arabiya, the Arab League recognized that this flag is the flag of Palestine in 1948. Unfortunately, that government did not survive due to the regional geopolitics. We will talk about that government later. And then the Palestinians were again denied statehood on the remaining 22% of Palestine. And then came PLO in 1964 to embody the Palestinian movement, and it adopted again that flag. And then came the Palestinian Revolution, the armed struggle revolution in 1965, led by Fatah movement, the Popular Democratic Front for the Liberation of Palestine. And by 1974, the Palestinian factions under PLO were nearly 10 political parties. They all had agreed on this flag to be the flag of the Palestinian Revolution. In 1988, the Palestinian leadership in exile met in Algeria. Palestine National Council met in Algeria and issued a proclamation of state, declared a state in exile. And that was on November the 15th, 1988. And that was when the flag was officially endorsed to be the flag of the Palestinian state. So the dates that are important to the history of the flag is 1916, the Grand Arab Revolution, and then 1917, it became the Palestinian movement flag. And then in 47, other pan-Arab political parties adopted it. And then in 48, the All-Palestine government adopted it. And then PLO in 64, and then it became the official flag for the proclaimed Palestinian state in exile in 1988. And then, of course, the Palestinian Authority kept this flag as the flag of the Palestinian people. But you know what matters the most? That this flag has become the flag on which the sun never sets. At any given time, on any day, in any place around the world, there is someone or a group of people who raise this flag to protest against the genocide, to express solidarity with the people of Palestine, and to fight injustice as a way of that symbolizes the global movement against oppression. So it is not just the flag of the 14 million Palestinians around the world. It is not just the flag of their cause. It has become a universal flag against many other forms of injustice. And that is what matters the most. So this is a brief history of the Palestinian flag. And what matters the most is let's all keep it raised.
Hi, this is Rafif Ziada, and you're listening to 3CR, Pro-Palestinian, Happily Proud Radio.
You can buy tickets to our upcoming concert on the 16th of August by joining our pages on socials. Tarab Ensemble, T-A-R-A-B, Ensemble. A friend of mine, his name is Kamal, who is Palestinian, came to Australia 10 years ago from Iraq via Syria and started working as a driver at a freight company, delivering parcels to companies and sometimes to residentials. And one day he was given an address in one of the suburbs in Melbourne with an East European sounding name, and his job was to deliver the parcel and get a signature. And the lady, when she saw his name, an Arab name, she said, "Where are you from?" He said, "I'm Palestinian." And then she asked him in Arabic, لسا عندك مفتاح بيتكم في فلسطين؟ Do you still have the key for your home in Palestine? And then Kamal gave the $1 million answer. He said, yes, and I will use it one day. Now let's pause here and ask, what is the significance of the key, المفتاح? And why has it become one of the symbols for Palestine? The simple answer is because it embodies one of the most important issues of the Palestinian cause, and that is the right of return, the right of every single Palestinian refugee to return to their homes from which they were ethnically cleansed from. Nakba has two pillars, the theft of land and the expulsion of people. And Nakba, the peak of Nakba, refers to the series of violence and massacres perpetuated by the Zionist groups against the Palestinians from November 47 to early 1949. During this time, the Palestinians found themselves at the receiving end of violence at the hands of Zionist militia gangs. It led to the expulsion of more than 900,000 Palestinians from their homes in what later became Israel in 1948. The refugees fled to seven different locations, two internally displaced, two in Palestine. So the biggest group went to West Bank, the second biggest went to Gaza, and the remaining five other locations were in the neighboring Arab countries, Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, and a small group of them went to Iraq. So this was the beginning of the refugee question, which should have been a temporary problem. But when it comes to Palestine, the temporary becomes permanent. So the right of return is one of the most sacred rights for the Palestinian people, not just for those who lost their homes in 1948, but also to each and every other Palestinian. And the key has become the visual symbol for our expression of commitment to this sacred right of return. And here I want to tell you my family's story when it comes to the right of return. My mother's family. My mother's family are from the Palestinian city of Safad, which is to the northern part of Palestine, just before the border with Lebanon. They were driven out in May 1948, and they fled on foot to South Lebanon, thinking that it's a matter of days before they return to their home. They did not take with them the valuables. The grandmother of my mother decided not to take with her savings of golden coins, and she decided to put them in a clay pot and bury it under one of the trees in Safad because she did not want to take the risk if it's a matter of a few days and we will be back. So they fled on foot to South Lebanon, and then within 7 or 8 months they ended up in Syria. And my mom was born a year after Safad in Syria. So she grew up in the southern city called Harasta, and then in different places in Damascus. And it was until 9 years later that they had their first home given to them by the United Nations, the UNRWA. It was the beginning of Yarmouk camp. So she grew up in a refugee camp in Yarmouk. So did more than 150,000 other Palestinian refugees, mainly from the northern parts of Palestine, from Safad, from Haifa, from Akka, from Jaffa, from Tabariya, who ended up in Syria after Nakba. Now, to them, Yarmouk was a small Palestine because it was a Palestinian neighborhood, and they named the street after their villages and towns and cities in Palestine. So there was Shari'a Palestine, Shari'a Lubia, Shari'a Safad, and so on. And in the 60s, the Palestinian refugee camps, upon the birth of the Palestinian Revolution, became also a small gallery for the graffiti and posters and symbols. And you would see flags everywhere. You would see graffiti and posters. And you would see, alongside the flag and the posters and the names and the pictures of the martyrs, you would see graffitis of the key on the walls of the camp. And of course, the key became another symbol, not just for the Palestinian refugee issue, but also to the Palestinian cause in its holistic meaning. In the case of my mother, she, after she got married in 1972, she moved with my father to Saudi Arabia, and that's where we grew up. But her other extended family remained in Yarmouk, and they remained there until 2012 and 2013. As you know, the Syrian political and military and civil unrest broke out in March 2011, and within a year, Yarmouk camp found itself in the middle and found itself entangled in the fighting. This resulted in another Nakba, where the Palestinians of Yarmouk, just like the Syrians during that time, were either internally displaced or tried to go to Lebanon, to Egypt, to Jordan, to Turkey. And the treatment of ex-Syria Palestinians compared to the Syrian refugees is itself another issue that we might talk about later. So the same family that held the key to Safed tight for generations found themselves having to carry that key again to another level of statelessness. Now, I remember going to see my auntie Maryam in 2016 in Egypt. So Maryam was born in Syria, like my mother. She grew up in Syria. She lived in Yarmouk camp. And in 2013, she ended up in Egypt. And 3 years after that, I went and met her in Egypt. And I found there a collection of keys. And I asked her, Khalto, auntie, what are these keys? Why so many? And she said, these are not just the keys to my place in Yarmouk. These also are the keys of your cousin Samer, your cousin Maher, your cousin Shireen, your uncle Jamal, your uncle Ihsan, your uncle Hassan, and your cousin Omar, and your cousin Saad, and your cousin Muhammad. And she listed the names of more than 20 cousins, male and female, including aunties and uncles. So every person who leaves Yarmouk would leave behind the keys of his or her place or business with somebody in the family. And that somebody, when they leave their key and the key of the other person to whoever remains after. And because Maryam was the very last person to have left Yarmouk, she was the one to safeguard the keys of every other member in the extended family. So we're talking about more than 25 homes and businesses. So we know what it means to have a key to a house that you had lost. And we know what it means to be denied of return. And we know the heavy price of statelessness, generation after another. Not just the denial of return to our homes, the denial of visiting the graves of our loved ones who were buried in Palestine. So if you take my grandfather, Abdul Karim, who was in his late 20s, this is the father of my mother, because of the denial of return, he could not go to visit his father's grave in Safed. And when he died in 1996, because of the Syrian crisis, my uncles, my mother, myself cannot visit his grave in Yarmouk camp. So there are unbelievable pain involved when it comes to statelessness. And One of the symbols to reiterate our commitment of return is Al-Miftah, the key.
3CR, your station, your voice.
With this, we've come to the end of this week's episode of Palestine Remembered. Thank you for tuning in, and remember to tune in same time next Saturday, 9:30 in the morning. Until then, this is Yusuf Ahmed Rimawi wishing you all the best. I will see you next week. And the last song I'll leave you with is another piece by Tarab Ensemble called Resistance.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.